What's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of The Build Up. And yes, it looks a little bit different. The production value has gone up. The price of the brick has gone up. For episode 11, this new era, we're leveling up on you guys, and we're bringing you guys visuals. We're bringing you guys, just a little token of our appreciation for all the support lately. You guys have been going crazy on every piece of content that we put out, and we wanted to level up the same way that our account and all of our content is leveling up. So we're super happy to be finally bringing you guys visuals for the pod. So make sure you guys tune into that on our YouTube channel, and we'll be posting, you know, different clips and stuff on TikTok and whatnot. But yeah, it's good to see everyone's faces. It's good to see you guys in person. We got the two Americans on top, you know, and then the two UK things on the bottom. So, you know, that's you know, we're setting the tone here at ST.
Change it.
No. Good to see you guys, though. The usual suspects, Griggs, Abu, Hassan, how you guys doing?
All right.
Going good. Things are looking good.
Just came back from the weekend of camping.
Yeah, this guy was in the wilderness, man. He must have got the lowdown on how the game was gonna go, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm out. I don't need to see this."
Yeah,
man was sending me pictures in a cave, you know. Like, bro, yeah, what are you doing?
I was discovering it's just in Britain.
How was it though?
Really good, but you just learn to live without usual, I'd say, like, accessories.
Detach, get off the grid, you know.
Yeah,
this guy heard there was a Harrier Mass masterclass that he had to run back. Had to
record. Yeah, he's like, we gotta get on the pod.
And he had to run back. I don't blame you.
No, it's calm. But yeah, so I guess we can get into the game. It started off great. It started off amazing. We look sharp, everyone looked good. You know, Hoyland scores 10 minutes into the game. The transitions were flowing. It just looked great. You know, everything was looking good, and then just absolute disaster strikes, and Hoyland goes down. Yoro goes down. Yoro's injury looks a little bit more significant than Hoyland's at the moment. But just like, talk me through the roller coaster of emotions from that opening 10 minutes. What did you like that you saw in that opening 10 minutes, and kind of what were your emotions kind of going through that first half?
Yeah, on the whole, in the football, especially the first half, I thought we were real good. I thought we are seeing like different sort of dynamics. We're seeing more bodies in build-up. We're seeing aggressive press. Whether that lasts without Yoro, I'm not sure. But we got a glimpse of a Yoro-Maguire partnership, and I think if them two can partner, Maguire and Lisandro usually partner well. I think I'd keep Maguire just based off how we played in that game and how we stepped up the pitch. Obviously, in the past, people have said, oh, he's too slow, so we can't play high up. And yeah, he does lack on transitions and recoveries at times, but on the whole, if we have a press that goes in fully, he can play. Other than that, obviously, it wasn't nice to see Hoyland go off, but that one doesn't look as bad as Yoro's. And I'm just worried on how we'll play in the next few games without Yoro, because we lack that wide channel defender on the right that's quick, basically can do all the abilities that we need to play Ten Hag's way. But other than that, yeah.
The first 10 minutes were good. Obviously, the football looked good. It kind of seemed like the transitions that Ten Hag always talks about. We're getting up the pitch quickly. I'm sure CK is going to give us a whole hour monologue on Mason Mount anyway, so I'm not really going to diverge into that. I'll let him do all that. Yeah, I'll let him do all that. But no, it looked good. Collier looked good. Rashford looked very sharp in the first 10 minutes. He cooks Ben White every single time, whether it's preseason, whether it's during the prem season. He sees that guy. He sees barbecue chicken. That pass to Hoyland was the Rashford special, right? That little lofted pass over the top. Hoyland cooked the center back. It was good to see him be aggressive, not kind of slow down the play and just go at his center back 1v1. He has the pace, and he abused it. I thought Alma looked sharp. Wan-Bissaka, like Hassan mentioned, the press, everyone was together in the press. The fullbacks were up high, and it looks like when the press is actually as a unity, it's actually solid. It's when one person kind of lacks in the press, it gets easily bypassed, which is more coaching and stuff like that. But it looked good. I thought Yoro and Maguire played decent together for like the 30 minutes that they did. Yoro made that one mistake again, but he recovered like he did last week against Rangers, which is always good to see. And then Amas, the feet are quick. The feet are really, really quick on the ball. He's going to be a special player. Obviously, defensively, he looked a little bit lost at times, but he's, I think, 17. That'll come with experience. Nothing to worry about in terms of that. But you can't teach feet like that. You either got it or you don't, and he clearly does. So it looked good. And then Collier, I don't know if you guys saw it, if we're going to go into it more specifically, but there was that one run that he made. That was Declan Rice. That looked exactly like Declan Rice. It was bar for bar the same shit. And he looked good. And that one tackle he put on Odegaard, he's got that dog in him. You like to see that little biting.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes for me were as good as Hassan's beard is. It was just unreal. Like, look at that beard, man. It's a beautiful beard right there.
Yeah, this is what you get when we get the visuals. You know, you get these little tidbits. You know, we get to see Hassan's beautiful beard.
I get
beard,
to see how good looking he is, man. Look at that, man. MashaAllah, great beard right there. Yeah.
Can you just talk about the football, please?
Unfortunately, I can't say the same for you, CK. But yeah, so
basically... Whoa, crazy straight. That's crazy, man.
Nah, the first 10 minutes, as everyone's saying, was great. Great 10 minutes. It actually looked like for the first time in about a year, we had a style of play. Aggressive press, you know, good in possession, good build-up play. Hoyland scored. Our four is going to be a rout. But then, you know, Arsenal got back into it. I think for me, the standouts were Mason Mount. I think he was the odd man out coming out of this transfer window, because all of us said we need center midfielders. It almost became, like CK said on the previous part, he became the forgotten man. But then today, he showed us how great he is and why we bought him for 50 million. Harry Amass, he basically is a Luke Shaw region. Let's just hope he doesn't, you know, have the same injuries as him. You know, has everything else but the injuries. He played amazing. As Greg said, you know, defensively, he was a bit out of sorts, but he's only 17. And Collier, baby Rice, baby. That's baby Rice right there. That's baby Deckers. So, yeah, it was good. Good style of play. Rashford did well. You know, I'm happy. If Rashford does well, Abby's happy. That's all that matters. And, yeah, it was good. You know, just the bad thing is the injuries. You know, it's kind of like last season where I think Ahmad and Mainu both got injured in America. It's a problem with the pitches. The pitches are just not suited for football. You know, as CK said, Yoro's injury seemed a bit more serious than Hoyland, so that's a bit of a worry. Like Hassan said, might impact our press, might impact our whole game plan. As we know how Ten Hag is like, once he gets one injury, he just, you know, changes the whole game plan, doesn't stick to it. So let's just hope that isn't the case. But yeah, it was good signs, but you know, let's just hope the after effects of the injuries are not that long.
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll dive into the injuries a little bit more and kind of segue that into, you know, a little bit of the transfer market talk. But just to focus on the positives a little bit more before we get into, you know, some of the obvious negatives. Greg's alluded to, you know, you might be getting a Mason Mount soliloquy, little monologue. It's here. It's happening right now. And it's become popular, right? I don't know if you guys have kind of sense this too, to hate on Mason Mount. I always say that United fans, you know, they always preach, we just want players to just do the basics. You know, X player does too much, this player does too little. We just need someone that does the basics well. And then you get a player like Mason Mount, who that is the epitome of his game, doing the basics at an extremely high level. And then they say that, oh, he doesn't do anything well. So which one do you want? Which way do you want to have it? And Mason Mount, for me, has quickly become, like, since we bought him, at first I thought he was, you know, when he was playing for England and whatnot, before he was a part of the Manchester United squad, I thought he was a little bit overrated, but now I think he's become egregiously underrated. This guy is absolutely relentless off the ball. In my opinion, one of the best out-of-possession players that you can have in your team right now. On the counter press, he's absolutely just absolutely relentless, like a Rottweiler in midfield. He gets to every 50-50 ball. He's a great connector between not only the second and third phase, but the first and second phase as well. His ability to just pop up in the right place at the right time, he's always making the right decisions. And I don't know if you guys have noticed his connection with Ahmad on that right wing as well. He made that underlapping run that set up Ahmad's goal last preseason game, and then he makes an underlapping run this game and gets on the ball and gets a shot on target. I just thought he was brilliant. I think he's pretty much every game he's put on, he's been on the field for United. I think he's played very solid. Maybe that one FA Cup game against Newcastle last season where we got knocked out was like the only game I can remember him playing poorly. But just this whole narrative around Mason Mount not being a good player is like, I just don't see how you can objectively look at a football game and the performances that he's put in for us and think that he's not useful. I do agree with the fact that it's hard to see where he fits in consistently in a midfield with Bruno, but as a utility squad player, this is the highest level of that role that you're going to get. And I just thought he's been brilliant in these first two preseason games, and if he stays fit, I think he's going to play a big part in our season.
Yeah, I think the only thing with Mount is that if we're being honest, it was bad business. We spent £50 million on a guy that was not wanted by Chelsea. He had 1 year left on his contract, and he was basically out for every game last year, bar a few. Like, we saw what we did against Tottenham, where out of possession, he was unreal. And as CK said, out of possession is probably one of our best players. But do we really want to be spending £50 million on a high-level utility player?
I mean, we're not accountants, so we just watch the football.
That is true. It's true.
We would have gone for cheaper, and even I said we'll get him in January or just wait till next season. But yeah, the thing about Mount is when he, I agree with everything CK said, when he's passing, his details are always mostly on point. Like if he rolls the ball into the tackers, it's always the correct way. And I don't know if you've seen ZK's thread yet where he's talked about staggered lines when the pivot's staggered. If you just look at Mount play, he's always getting away from danger before he's sort of receiving. So he's always on the move. His movement's really good. And I feel like he's a player with like high IQ, and you won't see it if you just look for... Obviously, like you said, he does the basics right. So this is a player who does the basics right, and he has the IQ to sort of know when to rotate, as Ten Hag's emphasis in attack is rotations to move the block. He will do that really well. And as we play better, you'll see more from Mount that you sort of haven't seen before. You'll see him in the attacking areas. Obviously, last season he scored that goal when he came on. I feel like if he wasn't injured and he played more, would have seen how he sort of fits into the attack of the midfield, even the midfield this season if we keep this double pivot and he drops deep. We've seen him play there against Spurs, obviously, last season when he was receiving from deeper. We've seen him higher up the pitch. I don't think we should go overboard on hating him or even like praising him, but he's a good player, and the more we play, the more we'll see. The more he plays, the more we'll see from him.
100%. No, I think... Yeah, I think that's a good call. I don't want to say he's some world beater or anything, but I just think the overall narrative on him like not being even remotely useful or some of the things that I've seen online is just like, it's ridiculous. Let's move on to Collier pretty quickly because it was another impressive performance from him. As Griggs alluded to, that one carry that he had was really impressive. If you haven't seen it, Stretford Trend posted a clip on Twitter as well, so you can go check that out, as well as the thread that Hassan was referring to in the last segment. But how ready do you guys think he is to contribute this season? Because obviously we're not saying he's Maynou-esque, but last season we saw Maynou get a consistent run of starts before he got injured, and it was kind of a sign, looking back on it now, that Ten Hag was planning to, you know, really integrate him into the team and probably start him in that first game of the season if he didn't get injured. Do you think Collier is kind of, obviously not the same talent level, but kind of Ten Hag has the same idea as like giving him starts in the preseason, as many as he is available for, and then, you know, kind of really giving him serious minutes, maybe even in that first game? Or is it more, you know, get him more experience so he can kind of come into the fold later in the season, you know, play some Carabao Cup games, play some FA Cup games? What do you think these performances are showing the staff? Do you think he's ready to really contribute this season and get some starts even?
So if you look at Pep Guardiola, again, when Manchester City play Community Shield finals, he always puts youngsters on as well in the games. I don't know if you've noticed that he puts, you know, when I think it was before last season, yeah, he started a few youngsters. I can't remember the name, but I think it's something that Ten Hag may be looking into as well. But it would be a surprise, but it's not something that's far-fetched because of how he's played in pre-season. I don't see any sort of reason why he wouldn't. He's made that pivot better. He's made Casemiro better. He's just doing stuff that Casemiro can't. He drops deep. And the thing with him is the amount of ground he eats up. And obviously people say Kobe's, obviously every player has their weaknesses. If he's covering ground for Kobe and he's dropping deep and his physicality as well is matching this, and he's got the athleticism, I don't see why he's not got a big part to play. Whether he's eased in or like Manu was slowly eased in, not sure. But yeah, we'll just see more from him. I just keep wanting him to play big games. I want to see him against some big teams, because I don't see how this is a player that you wait on. Like, you don't need to wait for any sort of physical improvements. He understands the movements very well when we build out the back. So just want to see more in play.
Yeah, I'm kind of on a similar wavelength. Obviously, I don't think he'll start the Community Shield. I think Ten Hag will kind of look at that game as potentially a statement game for who we're playing and the season to start. But I think when it comes to Europa League, we're going to have, I think, two extra games this year, regardless of where we finish. Carabao Cup, I think we start around earlier because we finished eighth place as well. Those games, I think Collier should be the first name on the team sheet. He has to be. There's no reason to play Christian Eriksen or Scott McTominay stays over him. We don't need to see anything from those guys. We've seen enough. It's been 3-4 years of prior experiences. You need to play this kid and see how he plays. And then eventually, as the season progresses and stuff like that, and he impresses, then I think Ten Hag would be more willing to start him next to Manu. Obviously, I don't think he'll start the season with Collier Manu. He'll probably play a Casemiro maybe, because if Casemiro maybe has a good start to the season, maybe January window, a club comes in for him potentially, hopefully, and kind of get him out the door and stuff like that. But I do think Collier will play a big part. I think Ten Hag always, like CK, you mentioned, that one academy kid he chooses from the bunch. It was Garnacho first. Last season it was Manu. Now I think it's going to be Collier. I don't think Amas is going to be ready for that kind of jump yet. So Collier is the one that's most ready. He's also 21. He's a little bit older than Manu and Garnacho, which means maybe he trusts him a little bit more than the others in terms of being able to acclimate to first team football. I think he's physically more ready than those guys were. Like Hassan mentioned, the way he covers up ground and stuff like that. And Ten Hag loves himself a physical midfielder. So that will only help Collier's chances. And yeah, man, I just want to see him play more important games. We have Liverpool next week. He should start that game against a physical midfield. And if he can get a start in the Community Shield, that would be perfect as well to go up against a technical midfield in Pep. And then we go from there. But the ceiling right now, I'm not going to lie, he's impressed me a lot more than I thought. On the ball, passing-wise, I think he's a little bit still shaky. But that's not something to focus on right now. That's what we have Kobe Mino for. Just the defensive part of his game, we need to figure that part out because our physical floor was so low last season. He raises it to a certain level that a Casemiro can't, that a McTominay can't, that Eriksen certainly can't. So, yeah, he's been good so far.
I think with him, physically, he's a 21-year-old. He's a grown man now. He's more physically developed than a lot of our other midfielders. And did you guys remember when Casemiro first came to United? I think McTominay started the first few games because McTominay started in the CDM role. So Ten Hag, even though it took him so long to start Ahmad, and, you know, there's been other instances where he hasn't really been, you know, picked players based on merit, I think he trusts Collier. That's why he's throwing him into these preseason games. And it's just like, show me what you can do. And he's outperforming Casemiro. I mean, it's not really hard. I think a 50-year-old with one leg can outperform Casemiro right now. His legs have gone, man. But, yeah, and he kind of is like baby Rice with the way he drives the ball and kind of same with as Rice, as he's a little bit technically limited, you know, in terms of breaking the lines. But as Greg said, we have Mainu to do that. And he's the perfect partner to Mainu in theory. Well, it was Onana, but obviously he's on to Aston Villa and we all wanted him. But now Collier is there. I think if Collier does carry on performing, I can see him starting the Community Shield. However, see, and if he performs well there, he could start the first game of the season, even though it's a big ask, you know. Hasn't really been named beforehand, starts a few preseason games well, then he gets chucked into the first Premier League game. It's a bit like, whoa. But we know with Ten Hag, you know, he trusted Garnacho, he trusted Mainu. Ultimately, he trusted Ahmad. When it comes to, when he sees a talent, which, you know, which he has confidence in, he puts him onto the pitch. So, yeah, I can see him, if he carries on this vein of form, I can see him getting, playing, and not a important part, but playing a part within the season. And it may come to a point where fans are going to be clamoring for him to start over Casemiro.
Yeah, for sure. I was just going to bring that point up. I think it's going to come down to Ten Hag when he gives up on Casemiro, because I think all of us and a lot of people have already given up. But I think we kind of saw last season with Antony, you know, that was his guy. And he tried and tried and persisted and persisted. And now it's to the point where he's definitely out of the first team, probably even out of the second team. And kind of he's seen the light and kind of just accepted his fate with that sort of move, that it's just not, Antony's just not it. And I think it'll happen this season with Casemiro at some point where it's just like, how many times is this guy going to give the ball away? How many times is he going to dive in and just put our whole defense and our whole team at risk? You know, just kind of single-handedly, he has the ability to kind of single-handedly like sabotage moves and sabotage our team at some points. And I think with Collier, yeah, he's really surprised me with how powerful of an athlete he is, with his ability to cover ground, drive into space. Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys. Technically, I need to see a little bit more out of him in terms of that, but we have other people who can take that role on. So Collier, Mainu pivot with Bruno in head is definitely a risk that I'm willing to see, and maybe against a lesser Premier League side to start out with, just to see how it works, or maybe it's in that Community Shield. But yeah, it's definitely a good problem to have another guy that can, you know, partner Mainu and kind of cover for some of his deficiencies. Amas as well, I think we touched on that touch that he had in that first, what was that, that first 5 minutes? First start. To do that in midfield, take the ball out of the air and split, I think it was Odegaard and someone else. That was just absolutely, I mean, this kid technically is like absolutely unbelievable. I think most of the concerns are physical with him. He is pretty, you know, diminutive in stature, and, you know, he's got to bulk up a little bit, but it's literally a Luke Shaw regen. Like, it's actually crazy. He has the same build. He wears the same low socks. He plays kind of the same play style. Like before Luke Shaw with the hip injury, you know, he was him. Like he still is amazing. But like before that injury, he was like unbelievable, and regarded as, you know, obviously one of the best in the world. So one of the best talents in the world when we bought him. So Amas definitely looks promising as well. I think Greg said that he's probably maybe more away from that first team integration just because of that physical aspect. But how old is he? Is he 16?
17.
17. So yeah, he still has time, and, you know, Carabao Cup, early games, you know, coming on late in games that we've hopefully already secured. That will be good. But it was great to see him kind of, you know, have that confidence early. He's just so good in tight spaces. But yeah, let's, I guess, move on to the elephant in the room, these injuries. Oh, God. It's just like as soon as Højlund went down and then Yoro went down and you saw Yoro's face and his expressions and him like walking off the pitch, it just sent me back to last season. It sent me back to last preseason when Mainu got hurt. And it's just like that feeling in the pit of your stomach. It's just like just absolute mood ruiner. And we're awaiting, I guess, the official updates, but the things that have come out, it seems like Yoro's is more significant. I think it was Paul Hurst reported that it was a muscle injury, but I heard it was ankle, so I'm not really sure. Hoyland seems to be a hamstring, more on the minor side, but always with hamstrings, you have to be so careful because one sprint the wrong way and it's re-aggravated. And obviously him coming back from Denmark away and then training for a little bit and then just going right into the game probably affected that a little bit as well, just especially the way we were playing in that first 10 minutes. But take me through your guys' process with the injuries and how it affects kind of the outlook of the beginning half of the season, how it might affect our market activity. Kind of what are you feeling after those injuries?
So, yeah, like I said, Euros looks more bad, more worse. I'd go for a right centre back. You know, even if we get Branthwaite, I would ideally like that as well. Branthwaite or right centre back, I wouldn't. You know, like there was hand callings, I would put them on the back burner for now. Any left centre back / left back options, I'd just prioritise either if we can get Branthwaite, if we can't get him, then I'd go for right centre back. And I'm not a physiotherapist, so I don't know why we're getting injuries still. I guess it's probably the load of last season, but Euro never got injured for his previous team, so and he's come here and his first day got injured. I just think it's down to luck really, or they're sort of just trying to adjust to maybe it's the climate, maybe it's the, I don't know. You can't just, if we go back to blaming training sessions again, I just think we go around in circles. Like people say they're just normal, like how players usually train, and there's people who don't like the manager that on that side they're saying, oh, they're too rigorous, and there's people at both points. So I just don't think we can put it all down to one thing. Hopefully we don't get many this season, but I'm just using that first game as, okay, the pitch and the fact that it was our first game against tough opposition, we sort of maybe pushed ourselves a bit too much in the preseason game. But other than that, there's really got to see Euro out because I'm not sure how we play now.
Yeah, I see. It's never good to see a player injured. Again, it's the Arsenal fixture. Last year was Ahmad. I remember being at the stadium and seeing Ahmad. It was right in front of me to see him get injured. I was devastated. Now it's the same with Euro. The American pitches, obviously, CK knows in LA how hot it is. It was very hot yesterday there. That grass looked terrible. Euro has not, I don't think Euro's ever played on an American pitch before. He had that to deal with. The climate, those kind of pitches are not good for players like him. The lanky, tall, as a center back, that's very aggravating on your hamstring and stuff like that, and or ankle, and then obviously it did him dirty. I'm just hoping that it is going to be serious, but hopefully it's like maybe like a month injury. If we can lower it to that, obviously you don't want to see him out for a month, but it's the best case scenario, hopefully. And his obviously hurt more than Hoyland's. Even if it wasn't like the timetable, it was like with Hoyland, at least we know we have Xerxes. That's going to come soon in terms of training and stuff like that. So we have a striker. Right center back, we're trying to offload both our right center backs. We're trying to get rid of Lindelof, and Maguire is like in limbo right now. But even if you play Maguire, then Leach is not going to be fit when he starts the season because he had a whole Copa America. So he's going to come back to training late as well. So it's like, do you want to go into the season again with Maguire-Evans center back partnership? No disrespect to both of them, but that's not what we want to start the season with. We want to start the season as strong as we can. So I agree with Hassan. Right center back needs to be the priority. If Bayern don't want to budge on the Ligt price, I would personally start looking at Trevor Chalobah. Chelsea want to offload him. He's a good price, 20 to 25 million. He can cover it right back. He could also play DM, which he put in the academy in his loan moves. I think for me, that's the kind of low-risk, high-reward business United should be looking at. He also fills a homegrown quota as well. Obviously, we're not really linked with many English players outside of Branthwaite, so we will have to get some English players eventually. And I think Chalobah just fits that profile. I think he could do a decent job to cover for Euro for a month. And then after that as well, he's also very cheap, so you don't really lose any budget in terms of going for Branthwaite this summer or next summer. It's just it's a nice little move, and he'll be half the Ligt's price. And I don't think the Ligt is two times the player Chalobah is in 2024. Maybe back then he was, but right now I think Chalobah. And also Chalobah, when I see him every time he plays with Chelsea, he wins a match. Like the guy's synonymous with winning. At the end of last season, when Poch, the form took an uptick, it was Chalobah that was starting. So I think for me, he'd probably be the best player we could get. I just worry a little bit about his aerial prowess. I know his aerial numbers are not that good. So next to Licha, that might be a slight concern. But at the end of the day, it's 20 mil. And you can't get better center backs on the market for 20 mil than Trevor Chalobah.
Yeah, first of all, I think we need to ban football from these Yanks. they hurt Ahmad. They hurt Mainu. They almost had a riot with bare Colombians in Colombia against Argentina in the final. Yeah, I seen fans going through the flipping the air vents. Like, I don't know what's going on in America, but just ban football from there. Just ban it. I've had enough. They've injured too many of my players. Building on what Hassan said about last season when it comes to injuries, I think a lot of us blame Ten Hag because as we stated numerous times on the pod last season, there's like the defense was here, the attack was here, and there was literally like 50 yards empty space, and it was just running back and forth, which I believe led to a lot of injuries, but also the lack of a medical team, a proper medical team, proper fitness team led to a lot of injuries, and we thought with Ineos, you know, reinstating a fitness team, we would see less injuries, but I think these two were just freak accidents. You know, I think I generally think it was the conditions of the pitch. Like Greg said, the weather, the grass, just not suited to these players. So that's why they got injured. With Højlund getting injured, it's not as bad because you got Xerxes coming in, who a lot of people would have as the number one striker going on for next season. So that's, you know, it's a good thing we bought a striker, you know. That's the reason you need squad depth. With Yoro going out, I would agree with Griggs getting Chalobah in because I don't know why Chelsea hate him so much. I think he's one of the best centre-backs. I think he's always performed well. Yeah, he may not break the lines or whatever, but he's brilliant as a defender, right back, and driving into midfield as well. So on a low risk, low value, I would buy him. But if not, I would say I wouldn't mind going back in for Braithwaite because I know he can play right centre back because he didn't need Rude and he can use both feet very well. And he's physically a monster. But it seems like Everton are not budging on 17 million, even though I think with their financial problems, they're going to have to. They're definitely going to have to. And yeah, and with De Ligt coming in, like Greg said, is he twice the player Trevor Chalobah is in 2024? I don't know. But he's still a very, very good centre-back you can cover. He's very good at, you know, a lot of stuff. defending in high lines, defending in deep block. I still would buy him. But yeah, I don't know. Our centre-back situation is not looking good. And I don't know. It's a bit of a downer. But let's just hope, fingers crossed, it's not that bad. I think Højlund is not going to be that bad. I think Yoro is the bit of like... I think Ten Hag has done this before because I remember last season Luke Shaw was injured for the first 3 months of the season. Then he played like 690s in a row. Then he came off halftime against Bournemouth. Then he was out for the rest of the season up until the final of the Euros. And I think he's in the same thing now with Yoro. You know, like Yoro was in Denmark just chilling. Then just throwing him straight into two preseason games straight away is a bit like, you know, kind of like embed him in a bit slowly. You know, something like a bit of a recurring mistake by Ten Hag. But yeah, it's a bit of a downer, but what can we do? Let's just hope it's not as bad as we think it is.
Yeah, it's tough. I think hindsight is always 20/20 with these things. When you look back, oh yeah, he could have sat out. But at the same time, you do want to get him acclimated to the team and to the, you know, kind of the way that we're playing. So he was definitely going to come off at halftime. So it's just tough. But we just got to hope and pray that it's not, you know, a two-month injury. And I think the length of that injury is going to determine if we make another big move for a Braithwaite or if we go in for more of a value buy like a Chalobah or, you know, try to get De Ligt price a little bit down. But yeah, let's just pray. Let's pray for Yoro, pray for Højlund, make sure they're all okay and they're not out for too long. But we did get a little bit more transfer news this morning that United have agreed personal terms and a fee, I believe, with Bayern Munich for Mazraoui. And it's going to come down to Aaron Wan-Bissaka's personal term agreement with West Ham because we obviously need to free up that money, free up that space to bring in a new right back. In my mind, I think the price was quoted at like around 25 million euros, if I'm not mistaken, which is I'm not a mathematician here, but what is that, like 18 million dollars, 18 million pounds or
19-20 million pounds, yeah.
Yeah, which I mean, that's a good value buy in my opinion for a player of Mazraoui's quality. Obviously, his injury record is a little bit of a concern, but in terms of a competent backup for Dallo and someone who can come into the fold if something does happen to Dallo, I think that's a good buy, and especially if we're getting rid of Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Appreciate your service, bro. Thank you so much. But, you know, I would say it was a pleasure, but it wasn't. You know, you locked up a couple guys. We appreciate you for that. Doku last year in the FA Cup final, we appreciate you. Who else am I missing?
League Cup final, St. Maximin.
Yeah, League Cup final, St. Maximin. Yeah. We appreciate you, bro. But, yeah, it's time to go. Just agree those personal terms, bro. Get your bag. And, you know, West Ham will be a great fit for him. You know, just defending. You know, yeah. What is 1v1s, you know. Just do your thing over there, bro. But talk to me about Mazraoui, about that kind of swap deal. How are you guys feeling about it? It looks like it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, there's an article come out from James Ducker, I think, a few months ago. It says United move closer to signing Mazraoui because Wan-Bissaka's chance of moving to West Ham boosted. So, yeah, I was just reading that. Yeah, Mazraoui, he's a player that you'll get a proper attacking fullback in. He can invert, but he's obviously not the best inverting in the centre of the pitch. He's better at holding width. He's gets up and down. He rotates a lot, so when he passes, his movement is straight off the mark. He's brilliant at making overlaps and underlaps. I've always seen him get really high up the pitch. So for whoever that winger is, did Ten Hag say he'll unlock Antony? But yeah, if Ahmad just keeps fit, then obviously that right hand side looks good as well. Obviously, he'd probably be a backup to Dallo. We lose the dynamic in sort of 1v1 defending. So again, Mazraoui's weakness is obviously he's not the most athletic. So we need a right centre back, I think. We need another one. On the left centre back, I think we should just put on the back burners for now. You just go back to prioritising that right centre back move, really. Because his weaknesses, he's not the most athletic, but I like the way he passes and he moves down the flank. His crossing is good as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same boat as Hassan. The overlap, underlap, that's probably been his biggest strength from the Ajax tapes. I remember scouting when I was looking at Timber for United, like Ten Hag's first summer. Mazraoui was always someone that stood out. And yeah, I mean, it's good. We'll have a player that is accustomed to the system of Ten Hag, so he'll get acclimated very quickly. Not really a big adjustment period. And even with Antony, let's say worst case scenario, Antony starts, at least you'll know he'll already have a relationship with his winger. But hopefully that doesn't happen. We don't need to see him play with Antony. But with Ahmad, he'll look even better, right? Because the superior winger. And like Hassan mentioned, the rotations. Ahmad loves, obviously, drifting inside because he loves playing central. I've always said that his long-term ceiling is as a central player anyway. So with Mazraoui keeping the width, that would give us a nice little option. Crossing, if Hoyland's at striker, for example, the crossing will be very beneficial. Obviously, with the Xerxes, it'll be a little different. But maybe if he has – I haven't really seen how he passes with the cutback, but if he has a nice little low-driven cross in him, maybe a Bruno crash in the box, Xerxes receiving the ball from a low cross, turning and shooting. That'd be a nice little dynamic. But yeah, it's a nice little move. But I do worry about maybe the 1v1 defending because Wan-Bissaka, you had the ultimate X factor sometimes. Like we mentioned the cup final against Newcastle. Saint-Maximin was cooking Dallo like crazy. You just threw Wan-Bissaka on and he locked up that side of the pitch. We do lose that a little bit. But if Lenny Euro's back fit real quickly, you're a little bit more comfortable because you could trust him to defend the wide channel. If we get a Jared Branthwaite in, you're comfortable with him. So it's really about, like Hassan mentioned, getting the right center back in. And the only good thing about Mazraoui is he can't play left back. In the Morocco World Cup run, he did play left back. So we can't trust Luke Shaw. Malacia is MIA still, so we don't know where he is. It's nice to know that both our right backs can play left back. So that's a nice little bonus on top of that.
I think for me, Mazraoui, how much did we buy Antony for? 86 million, was it?
Let's not talk about it, bro.
Yeah, but I think Mazraoui was responsible for about 60 million of the 86. Literally just his overlappings, underlapping, his movement in the Ajax team was unreal. You know, can do it all from a technical point of view. And as Greg said, can double up a left back as well. We know Luke Shaw's injury record is just, you can't rely on it. Malacia, I don't, has anyone seen him? I hear quotes from him, but I don't see him. Like, I hear him, but I don't see him. Like, where is he?
He just got hit by a drunk driver the other day, apparently. He just got cursed, bro.
I don't even know what's going on.
Guys had three botched surgeries, and you got hit by a drunk. Like, I just don't understand what's going on.
I think the surgeries went so bad that there's been talks of him. Like,
bro, we signed Lonzo Ball. I'm sick.
How did you get so lucky,
bro? Like, I generally think that a hyena that was put in the middle of Old Trafford, it just cursed Malacia randomly. It just cursed Malacia.
I thought he was actually good. That for that Sevilla game, obviously, was an absolute madness. He cost us just absolute. But then before he like low key locked Salah that Liverpool game at home. Like, he had a couple. Yeah. He had some really good moments. And he's for the money that he's on, like, he would be a great just player just to have.
He's just someone just put black magic curse on him, and he can't do nothing. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the guy's even scared to take a step outside of his house. He might think a tree might fall on him or something, or lightning might strike him. But yeah, going back to Mazraoui, like, can play right back, left back, can invert, overlap, especially with Diallo. I can see a lot of good stuff happening. Bit weak going back 1-1, but if we sign De Ligt or Bamford or if Yoro, you know, is back fitter than we think, don't really see it as a major issue, you know. And the thing is, though, we said Bamford is good at 1-on-1 defending, but he's like back post defending. How much time has he cost us? Like, who was it? It was against Sevilla in the Europa League, like in 2020 or 20. Like, he cost us that game, a game against Galatasaray, where Angelino scored twice at the post, I think. Like,
bro, the Brentford game last season.
Oh my god,
he kept all those guys on side.
Literally, and that's the reason they scored. Like, it's
because Hassan's gone.
Literally, like,
this uncle, bro.
That's how much. that's how much. Wan-Bissaka's back post defending pisses off Hassan. He had to leave. He couldn't stay.
If you're watching on the visuals, Hassan's Unk status really just kicked in. He just decided to dip on all of us.
Uncle Drive. But yeah, back to Mazraoui. Cheap, would buy him. Decent signing. Bit lightweight as well, I think. Bit of a lightweight, but you know, if he's a backup, I'm not really too fussed about it. As we know, Diallo is on the more right back going forward, as he should be. And Luke Shaw, well, and Malacia if he comes back. But yeah, I don't know. I'm happy if we get him. But it seems like Ten Hag is literally like trying to, you know, get that Ajax 2021 feeling or some Dutch feeling. You know, the boys are back in town. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it's a little.
It's too many.
A little sketchy. It's a little sketchy.
And he said it's just a coincidence. I don't think so, buddy. I don't think so. It's a bit with me. But let's just hope it works out. And that's the end of more Dutch. That's the end of any Dutch signings or. Any more Eredivisie signings?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, if they were, like, obviously the Antony situation has scarred a lot of people, I think, but going forward, I think the process is right on these buys, like a De Ligt, a Mazraoui, obviously Lissandro has worked out, but
I've got PTSD, CK, man.
Yeah, no, it's just like, I get the sentiment. We got Xerxes in too. He's Dutch, so there's a lot of Dutch going on, which here at Shed for Trends, we love all people. You know, we're very inclusive. We're not biased against Dutch people whatsoever, but
I love the Dutch.
We want to have a United should be a nice little melting pot for every culture. So hopefully we can get some English talent in, you know, some other talent in, but for that price, I think it's a good buy.
Like CK said, keep it English. Keep England English.
He's going to get us cancelled, man.
Don't get into far right areas yet.
First visual pod, we're getting cancelled. Nice. Well done, Abu.
Well done. His views are the complete opposite. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. All right. What else we got? You guys got anything else?
Not really. I think we'll try get a stream out later in the week, like a technical stream, like
Yeah,
about the
yeah.
technical
Make sure
details
you
of the
guys are
game.
follow. We'll drop the link somewhere. Follow us on Playback. Become a
Yeah.
subscribe. I think they call it members over there. So make sure you guys, fly over there and stay tuned. We'll tweet out and do everything when we're about to stream. But we're just gonna get the content going, man. Get a bunch of stuff on TikTok, IG. We got a nice clean link tree in our bio now. So make sure you check that out. We can find all of our content up there. And yeah, we just really appreciate the support lately. We've grown crazy, something like 5,000 followers in like 2 weeks, which is crazy. And it's just motivated us to just obviously up the content that we're putting out, not only the quantity but the quality as well, as you can see with this nice production that we're putting on here. And yeah, we're just super excited for the season. Hopefully United can do their thing, and we'll be here every step of the way. But until the next time, we will we'll see you. When's our next game? Wednesday?
Wednesday against Liverpool.
Betis? Is it Liverpool or Betis?
Oh. Betis is first.
Where's
Betis.
Bro, CK, that game's at 10 p.m., bro.
But when is that? That's like 3 a.m. for you guys, huh?
It's good for everyone.
Oh. Yeah. 10 p.m. is crazy.
I'll watch the highlights in the morning, man.
I'll be there. We'll be there. We will be there. At least some of us will be there.
I would love to be there. I'm working out of here.
Full time Stratford transcript.
Part time friends.
No, all right, guys. Appreciate you guys. Oh, you got something else on?
No, sit.
Okay. All right, sounds good. If you're tuning in on audio or visual, we appreciate you either way, and we'll see you after the Betis game midweek. Peace.
Yeah.